If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
So, usual things happening here. It is Sports Saturday on a sun-splashed Saturday in Kansas City and across the metro area. We're going to take you up until 4:30 and hand you off to the KU pregame show for coverage of Kansas and Texas Tech, that game over in Lawrence. We now bring in Jed Marshall, who's probably very upset that I whiffed on the fish bump back.
That was a brilliant intro, Brad. Charlie, great bump, by the way. I can't believe that you didn't get wouldn't twist around, Brad. Come on, man.
I know. Well, you only used fish about, 427 times when you were on the weekends?
Yeah, normally I use the Moma Dance, which was, I don't know, one of my favorite songs. But anyways, here we sit. What's going on, buddy?
Well, my eyes are bouncing around from screen to screen with these college games. And the thing that, if I'm not catching a play in progress, I'm catching all these alternate helmets and uniforms. I can't decide if TCU's alternate uniform and helmet choice today is either totally awesome or just completely horrible. It's one or the other, and I haven't decided yet.
I think that the alternate uniforms have gone too far and kind of jumped the shark, and a lot of what they're trying to put out there is maybe not the best, and maybe just go back with the original uniforms. That's why you set them up as such, but I don't think that's what we wanted to talk about.
No, not at all. I did see one good one today. This is the last thing I'm going to say on these alternate helmets and uniforms. I did see a good one this morning, and I was watching ESPN Game Day, which, by the way, if you didn't see it, and Pat McAfee being the celebrity guest, it was fantastic. He was awesome. He had a sleeveless South Dakota State sweatshirt on, and just he rocked it. It was great. But they did a great story on a kid who plays at Minnesota. He's the holder on kicks sometimes. He's fought cancer 4 times in his life. And all he ever wanted to do was be a part of a college football team, and Minnesota was the only team that would clear him medically to play. And so last week he got into the game and got to hold for a kick, and it was good. And the helmet had it was a kind of a yellowish, dark yellow helmet with a big M on one side and a big gopher on the other. But the whole story put together with the uniform, I was just like, that's awesome. And then, of course, I was sobbing after watching that story.
That's the worst part about watching College Game Day on ESPN, is that they do such a great job of finding all the different stories. Like when they did the piece on the Purdue kid, or when they did the story on the Iowa facility and making sure that everybody, you know, takes a moment to wave up to the kids. It's unbelievable information. And the fact that they're able to go to different places that you wouldn't think of and kind of make it a unique experience, they do a great job. But man, yeah, the fact that you just want to watch some college ball and hang out on a Saturday, and then it's 10:15, you're sitting there crying.
Yes.
It's not the best way to start your Saturday. I would agree with you.
And that particular story was not done by Tom Rinaldi, but he did another one. But normally if I hear, and here's Tom Rinaldi with the story, I'm like, oh no.
you have to find a moment. You either have to change it and then be like, I'll watch it later. And,
yes.
You know, DVR it and find a moment where you have a moment to sit there and be like, oh gosh, I'm going to cry. It's going to be embarrassing, but man, they do great work. Tom Rinaldi's the best.
Yes.
ESPN College Game Day is really good. Danny and Stan also are really, really great.
Yeah.
I loved the interview that they did just there with Bob Bowlsby that you ran back. Yeah, really, really great stuff. A lot of stuff has happened though.
Tom Rinaldi was the one, and this is the last thing on Tom Rinaldi. Tom Rinaldi was the one guy, when Tiger Woods was at his height, and he was blowing off reporters every day or giving them one-word answers and basically just doing a terrible thing. Tom Rinaldi was the one guy he could not do that to, because Tom is just so damn good in his job, and he's not going to let you off the hook. And Danny and Stan, yeah, that's how I start every Saturday. You know, they spent a lot of time talking Oklahoma and K-State this morning, rightfully so, with Oklahoma coming to Manhattan, ranked number 5. K-State had not beaten a top-5 team since 2006. I didn't think it would be a blowout. You know, the spread was 23.5. I thought K-State would play within that. I wouldn't have bet on it, but I thought they would stay within it. But to 1 point be leading 48-23 was mind-blowing. And then to see them almost blow it at the end, and then the onside kick that was recovered by Oklahoma, but oops, the ball touched an Oklahoma player before it went 10 yards. The call's reversed. The whole thing was just wild down to the final minute of the ball game.
Yeah, it was a wild game, and I think there's a lot to be taken away from this game. You said you wouldn't have bet on it. I, of course, picked OU in the program picks.
Oops.
But, yeah, well.
They weren't a bad pick. I would have stayed away from it because it's a big number, but it's not a bad pick.
You have to pick all of the locals and do what you do. But I think that there are a lot of different things. OU is a very good team. They were in a look-ahead situation, and I think maybe they had bought into themselves a little bit too much. It wasn't a great game from Jalen Hurts, so forth. K-State was able to shorten the game and get up big, but when you're in that situation, how do you not start just feeling good about yourself when you have that big of a lead? And I know I texted you and said that I think OU got hosed on the onside kick there at the end of the game. I was texting with Lebo a little bit too, and it probably ended up being the right call. But for Oklahoma to be in that situation, man, how frustrated do you have to feel?
Yeah, and you know, when it initially happened and Oklahoma recovered the ball, I was here in the studio with my headphones on, and I jumped up out of my seat, and I'm like, oh my God. Here's the game. Here's the chance of the playoffs. Here's Heisman hopes. Everything is going to come down to whether or not Oklahoma can score with a minute 23 to go on K-State's part of the field. I'm like, this is going to be crazy. And then all of a sudden it's being reviewed, and it got even crazier waiting for it.
It's one of the things that, to me, college football has a big problem, and it goes to the NFL as well, but just looking at different things. I mean, if you're going to make a call, but then to go and sit there and extend the game, one of the things that you and I have talked about for multiple years is extending games. I mean, make a call, try. I know that everybody wants to get it right, but ultimately make a call and try and find some way to expedite the process. Maybe I'm wrong and I'm looking at it from a total fan perspective and sitting here watching the game, but ultimately, the players are going to dictate what happens, but I want to see something that's a little bit quicker, right?
Yes, Brad? Yeah, absolutely. And you and I are both huge soccer fans, and soccer still has problems with their new review system, the VAR. It's only been in place for a year or two, and sometimes it takes too long, but generally it's pretty quick. I guess the best replay system, and it's based on the sport, you can't help it, but tennis is done in like 10 seconds. But that's laser beams looking at the lines and where the ball lands, and that's quick. These are judgment calls that in football and baseball as well that take entirely too long. And I'm with you. I think if you can't get a decision made, what, is 90 seconds not enough time? If you can't make a call in 90 seconds, you just leave it the way it's called on the field?
Well, you bring up the idea of actually tennis and different things like that. We actually have the technology in soccer, and you see it in different capacities, but they could put a sensor chip into football and
yes,
all of the players' uniforms in whatever sport. Again, you'd get into the judgment of, well, the sensor was on his leg and the football sensor was there,
right.
You know. So I mean,
right.
there's always going to be minutia when you open Pandora's box of being able to review anything. What you have to do is be able to take the technology in tennis, kind of like they do, and be like, all right, it hit the line, that ball is in. Now we move forward, continue to make things better. It's a much bigger conversation, but to sit there and have a four-hour football game when you can get it done in three, and I'm sure we'll get to baseball and things like that, but man, I just don't understand why people don't think about this when there are so many different things, and you can talk about revenue and what's happening with viewership and stuff like that. That's ultimately what people want, is efficiency. So that wasn't a very efficient answer, but the point is still valid.
Absolutely. And you know, baseball last night, I love baseball, especially the World Series. I don't care who's playing. But to have a game in which six runs combined were scored and to have it last almost 4.5 hours was just, it was excruciating. Just to sit, it was like, come on, let's go. But, you know, they changed the rules in the playoffs and guys get away with stepping out of the box every 5 seconds. And it's just, it's a pain in the ass. But So we got a great game. You know, one of the things Bob Bowlsby talked about today with Danny and Stan was these 11 o'clock kickoffs, and Big 12 fans in particular this week were not happy about the fact that you got three 11 o'clock games, but you did get to start with, you know, K-State and Oklahoma, which was a thrilling finish. And let's see, the 11 o'clock games, actually, I think they were last week, but, you know, the time of games are what kind of turn fans off once in a while, and the time of games turn fans off once in a while. But at the end of the day, if you get an entertaining product, that makes it a little better. You know, the early games today around the country were not good. Ohio State blew out Wisconsin 38-7. Iowa and Northwestern, unfortunately, I took in about a quarter and a half of that, and it was 20-0, and I was stunned that Iowa got to 20. And then Appalachian State's not a big name, but they are ranked, and they blew out South Alabama. So these early games today were just blah. Not a great, other than K-State and Oklahoma, just not a great start to the day. I'm hoping the nighttime games, including your Michigan Wolverines taking on Tim Grunhard's Notre Dame Golden Domers, I'm hoping that brings it back a little bit.
Yeah, it should actually be a pretty decent day. Like, you have LSU Auburn going.
Yep.
And then, as you mentioned, the Fighting Blair Kirkhoffs winning early.
Yep.
But to me, college football, there's a pack of about 5-6 teams. I'd still put OU in the conversation of that 5 or 6 teams that actually should be in the conversation for the playoff discussion. And then you have another, like, probably 30 teams that are really, you know, pretty good, and mm-hmm. then you have all of the rest. So anybody can beat anyone on any given day, of course. It's the old adage that you talk about when football is being played, but I don't know. I still think Clemson, Alabama, LSU, I don't know. Who am I forgetting that I might be sleeping on?
Well,
OU.
Oklahoma would have been in there, but probably not after
Ohio
today.
State.
Ohio State,
still,
yeah.
You probably have, like, those top four, and the playoff discussion kind of stops there, maybe if Oklahoma runs the rest of the table. But, yeah, I don't know. College football, it's a fun product, but what are you really looking for? And it's kind of playing out the string until we get to the playoff discussion and bowl season.
By the way, you mentioned LSU and Auburn, which is on right now. They're almost to the end of the first quarter, and Auburn putting a beating on LSU right now at 3-0. And LSU was favored by 10.5, which I thought was a lot, but not a lot of fireworks in that game.
Well, as I'm watching it now, LSU's looking like they're getting ready to probably punt here with a third and about 11. No play-by-play, though.
No, not allowed. That's why I always wait about 20 seconds. We got Jed Marshall on as a guest. He's the producer for Seren Petra on weekdays from 2 to 6 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's kind of hit Kansas real quick, and then I want to get into the Chiefs because I have not had an opportunity to talk Chiefs today. But KU tonight, I mentioned this earlier in the show with Matt Tate. I know it's popular in sports to say there's no such thing as moral victories, but I think if you're a KU fan or even a player, and you go down to Austin and you put 48 points on the Texas Longhorns, you're leading the game with a minute 11 to go, and then you lose it on a last-second field goal. To me, I take a moral victory out of that. After 10 years of just unwatchable football, there's a sign of life there. The new offensive coordinator mixed in some, I'm sure it wasn't totally revamped, but mixed in some new things. Carter Stanley seemed to be able to flow with it, put a bunch of points on the board. And you come back to Lawrence with a little momentum to face Texas Tech.
Yeah, and it's homecoming. My fear as a Kansas fan would be that you spent so much energy down there in Austin, fighting so hard and coming so close. As you mentioned, the moral victories are huge. And I know as a Kansas fan and someone who went to school there, it stinks to hang your hat on those. But I heard Nate and both Seren talking about the fact that moral victories are a good thing. It's one of the things that the Mangino era showed, is that their teams would fight. And yes, they may not be the most talented team, but when you're talking about a down Texas team, still to go on the road and put up a valiant effort is a really great sign for the program. And what Brent Bierman did offensively, again, all positives for Kansas. I think that you should be encouraged. My fear, though, is that they spent so much energy and fought so hard, and that would be the season maker. I hope that Les Miles is a good enough coach. I know that he's a good enough coach as a national championship winning coach, that he's able to focus the young men and be able to be like, look, all right, what we did was just a step. What we need to do is now protect home field. And as I've seen on Twitter from every Kansas person, you know, fill the booth and do what you do and actually get a win over a Texas Tech team who's a good team. But if you want to make steps, this is a game that Kansas should realistically look at winning.
I'm curious if, since the Chiefs are on Sunday night tomorrow night, I'm wondering if Patrick Mahomes is going to make his way to Lawrence to watch. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu, too, because I know he gets along with Les Miles. I wonder if we might see a couple of Chiefs over there tonight, or if they want to stay home and get a good night's rest.
I'd be fine with Tyrann Mathieu going, wrap him in bubble wrap, though, just to be
right.
Safe, because it seems like every dynamic player that the Chiefs have might be on the eye, or, you know, out, or, you know, not playing tomorrow. But, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, I hope that he's staying home and resting and hopefully getting well.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, we're speaking with Jed Marshall here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me check with Charlie here and see if I'm coming up on a break, or if I can keep going for a couple of minutes. You mean I can take a break or can keep going? You said, yeah, you can.
You can keep going.
Okay, I gave you two options, and you said, yes, you can. All right, so, Jed, a couple. Let me hit the Chiefs real quick here since we got them into the conversation. With Patrick Mahomes out, I didn't think he was going to play. All that stuff earlier in the week on, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, well, we haven't ruled him out yet. I wasn't buying that for a second. That would be irresponsible to put a guy in a game 10 days after his kneecap slid out of place and got slid back in. I wasn't buying it at all. So I had already priced in the fact that Patrick Mahomes was not going to play this week against the Packers. And with that, I thought, okay, you know, the Chiefs are probably going to lose this game by 10, 12 points, maybe more, and that's, you know, it's fine. You got the MVP quarterback not in there. Then you get to the end of the week, and you get the full list, and it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Chris Jones, and it's Frank Clark, who I hadn't heard about his injury all week. He's out. And then you're still without Eric Fisher. You're still without Andrew Wiley. And I'm looking at that list, and Kendall Fuller is not going to play this week. And now I see that list, and I don't see a way for the Chiefs to win this game. Now, you can go back to the Romeo Crennel era when they were losing, what, 13 games that one year, 14 games, and they got a big win over Green Bay at the end. I don't see it happening tomorrow night against an Aaron Rodgers-led Packers team.
No, it's going to be pretty rough. Aaron Rodgers is coming off what he said was the best game of his career. So, as you mentioned, all of the different players being out, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, to me, the Frank Clark thing is an absolute mystery. When did he hurt himself?
Right.
And why did the Chiefs give us no information about that? To me, that's an absolute mystery. But, yeah, I think it's going to be tough sledding. The Chiefs, Andy Reid's a good enough coach. My fear would be that they spent so much energy up there in Denver. I know coming off what is a quasi-bye with the long week, you know, with a Thursday night game. But still, man, yeah, it's going to be rough sledding, I think, tomorrow night.
And there's a debate, too, and you can take either side of it, or you don't have to take any side of it, but what to do with Matt Moore at quarterback? Do you try to run the football way more than you have all season, because the Chiefs, frankly, haven't run it much, and when they have, it hasn't been all that great. A couple of runs busted by LeSean McCoy here and there, but really it's been the swing passes and the screens that have worked for the running back. So do you try to work in some more runs? Do you stick with the screen games and the bubble screens and those kind of things? I kind of liked, well, how could you not like the Tyreek Hill touchdown, but mixing in the wheel routes they did, and that's been that wheel route. Nick Jacobs told me last week they've done that before. I still kind of like those, and Matt Moore seemed to have a grasp on it and pull it off. So I'm not sure if you change it, you know, 180 degrees, but you do have to tweak it a little bit because it is Matt Moore.
I think you're going to have to, well, as you said, there are a lot of different things to unpack there, but with the offensive line injuries, you are
yep.
kind of limited in what you're going to do. You haven't run the ball very well. you know, to begin with. So I think you want to do what you're going to do if you're Andy Reid, and I think you're going to work to the strength of the quarterback. And Andy Reid's a smart enough guy to develop and design a play scheme. I'm not worried about the offense. I'm worried about the defense. I'm worried about the fact that they're hamstrung injury-wise. So that's why, to me, I find it a troubling spot if you're a Chiefs fan. But it's not the coaching. I've heard a lot of people being down on Andy Reid and different things, and it even harkens back to the play call and Patrick Mahomes being injured. It wasn't the play call that got Patrick Mahomes injured.
No.
It was a freak accident
yes.
that got Patrick Mahomes injured. And I didn't even heard pushback from that, well, it was because his own player fell on him. Yes, it's the game of football. There are people falling on you all the time. It was an unfortunate incident. Just because we live here in Kansas City and are all Chiefs fans, Patrick Mahomes is the most dynamic player in football. No one wants to see him injured. It was an unfortunate thing. It just frustrates me to no end to think that Andy Reid is some kind of boob and buffoon. And if they lose this game, it's because Andy Reid doesn't know what he's doing. It's because they're decimated with injuries and trying to figure out a new defensive scheme and playing with their third quarterback.
Yeah, and, you know, the injury to Mahomes, I was watching one of the college games this morning. I think it was the Iowa-Northwestern game, and there was a quarterback sneak. And the first thing the color analyst said was, well, you saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes about a week and a half ago, and, you know, he's going to be out this week. I don't know about these plays. And I'm like, do you know how rare it is that a quarterback gets injured like that on a quarterback sneak? First of all, the kneecap sliding off to the side, that doesn't happen very often anyway. But it does. The injuries on quarterback sneaks are almost non-existent, and now it's being put into part of the storyline for every other quarterback who plays the game. You shouldn't be doing this because Patrick Mahomes got hurt. And that's not logical thinking.
Curtis and Seren ran the numbers. 183 quarterback sneaks by Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. Unfortunately, here in Kansas City, we've seen him beat up time and time again when it matters. No injuries on quarterback sneaks.
No, because it just doesn't happen.
Exactly. So what do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't.
Well, when Tom Brady did get hurt playing the Chiefs, when Bernard Pollard got into his knee, I guess the Patriots...
Because he was throwing the ball.
And that's what I was...
Well, he should have thrown the ball.
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, got hurt when he was throwing the ball. Well, he should have handed off. Well, what if the guy falls into him? Like you said on the quarterback sneak, what do you do?
Yeah, Tom Brady should never have ever been allowed to drop back in the pocket, ever.
No.
So,
hey, Brad, I guess what we get to is just don't play your really, you know, valuable quarterback. He's not that important. Just have him on the sideline and, you know, have him communicate it like on Madden or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jed, I appreciate you jumping on and joining us these odd Saturday shows in the middle of the college football season leading into a Chiefs game the next day. Sometimes you get a guest or two that has to dump out to go cover something else. So I appreciate you when you texted me this morning and said, hey, can I jump in? I said, yes, I had some people drop out. I can definitely. So I appreciate you doing that and coming on, and miss you on the weekends, but always enjoy listening to you from 2 to 6 with Seren and Curtis.
Anytime, brother. Let me know.
All right. That is Jed Marshall joining us here on Sports Saturday. Good stuff. Jed's always got a great attitude. Although he's, I guess you could call him the cynic with a good attitude. A little cynical. That's okay. It's funny. It works for him. Not everybody can pull it off without pissing people off. Oh, good stuff there. Let me just update the Big 12 scores real quick, and then I'll give you the top 25 when we come back from the break. So going around the Big 12, if you missed it, it's because you just weren't paying attention to anything today. K-State built a huge lead on Oklahoma in the second half. At one point, led 48-23 in the fourth quarter until Oklahoma stormed back. Got it within one score. Went for an onside kick with a minute 23 to go. Had appeared to recover the onside kick and put themselves in a position to have a chance to win the game. The play was reviewed, and the ball had touched the leg of an Oklahoma player before it went 10 yards. So it was ruled K-State ball. And they got in victory formation and kneeled down the rest of the way, K-State knocking off Oklahoma 48-41. First win over a top five opponent since 2006. So that's how your Big 12 day started. Right now, Big 12 games in progress. Texas just scored a couple of minutes ago to tie it up with TCU at 10-10 with about 10.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Oklahoma State up in Ames today, and Oklahoma State has come back to score and take a 14-10 lead on the Cyclones. And the nightcap in the conference tonight is Texas Tech at Kansas. 6 o'clock kickoff. We'll hand you off to the network at 4:30 for complete coverage leading up to that. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. Charlie Carlin is running the show. My name is Brad Porter, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday on what is a gorgeous October afternoon in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is running the show. I just wrapped up with Jed Marshall. I go up to the top of the hour, and then we are going to attempt to get Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com on the show. I texted him this morning, and I said, you know, depending on how the game goes, let me know. And he said, you know, if the game goes pretty quick, we should be okay. But since it's a huge upset over Oklahoma, it might be a little dicey. So we're going to attempt to get Riley Gates on the show at the top at 4 o'clock. By the way, during one of those last commercial breaks, I just wrote this down, and this has nothing to do with sports, but I heard Soren Petro doing a commercial for a product called DrinkWorks at DrinkWorks.com, promo code Soren50, and it sounds like the SodaStream of adult beverages. You just put it on your counter, you put whatever mix in there, and it makes you, from the commercial, it sounds like it makes you a professional drink.
I heard it for the first time yesterday, just while driving around. I was like, I'm really intrigued by that.
That's what I thought.
I want to know how that works and if it's good. I'm sure it is.
I wonder if Soren's got one. If he could bring it to like a work party or bring it to the office kitchen and just do a demonstration, I'm sure Soren would love to do a demonstration for everybody here. I'm sure he would love to, but I think
he would prefer probably a Corona machine, maybe, if it would just like brew a Corona, like just right.
I'm sure since Soren does the commercial, I'm sure he has one of these things. I have to ask him how it works. And sometimes he listens to the show on the weekends. So Soren, if you're listening, if you'd like to come up some weekend and bring a DrinkWorks machine, that'd be awesome. That's if you have a lot of parties, if you host parties at your house or whatever. Maybe you have an office where they let you have parties on Fridays. I know people who do that. Bring one of those DrinkWorks machines. Now here I'm like 2 minutes into this. I don't have one, so I can't tell you if it's any good. I'm assuming it is. Soren doesn't endorse anything unless he likes it. Corona Light.
Keurig for cocktails.
There you go. Keurig for cocktails. I'm just intrigued. I heard that commercial. I'd never heard of anything like that. Maybe I don't get out much. I know what SodaStream is. I don't have one of those either, but I know what it is. And friends who have it. But DrinkWorks makes a professional mixed drink. I don't know. All right. Never know where the show's going to go. Let me run through the top 25 college football scores for you real quick. I already mentioned the K-State upset over Oklahoma, 48-41. A wild finish with a onside kick that was recovered by Oklahoma, and then a review said no. They reversed the call because the ball had bounced off the leg of an Oklahoma player before it got to 10 yards. So K-State, 48-41. Games in progress right now. LSU is now on the board, and they lead at home over Auburn 7-3. There's not been a lot of scoring in this game, but LSU came in as a 10.5-point favorite. Charlie, that seemed like a lot to you, 10.5. LSU over Auburn seemed like a big spread to you for two top 10 teams.
Pretty high, yeah.
Two top 10 SEC teams.
Wonder if people have been jumping all over that and that's going to go down before game time.
No, it's in place right now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
LSU's underway. But they were favored by 10.5 on Auburn. I get it. They're at home. They got a quarterback who's looking for Heisman Troy. They got great players all over the place. LSU is loaded, man.
I need to turn into that game. I didn't realize it was on already.
Yep.
I've got Penn State, Michigan State up here, and that's not going to be very good going forward.
Penn State is up on Michigan State 13-0 with Just under 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. It's Big Ten football. Charlie, come on. I'm an Iowa fan. I'm used to games like this that just don't, like Big Ten basketball. Just whatever. We're content to win 45-38. About your average Big Ten score. I'm exaggerating probably a little bit, but not too much.
Not really at all.
No.
Nice Saturday nap.
I would have to see if somebody like KenPom or one of the analytics services, if they track how many teams, well, I know it's average points per game, but how many games are teams actually reaching like 80 points, 85 points in college basketball? I'll bet the Big Ten collectively has the lowest number of games in which a team gets to 70 points. That's on par. So anyway, LSU leading Auburn 7-3. Texas down at TCU. Texas ranked number 15 after that last-second win over Kansas last week in Austin. Texas and TCU tied up 10-10 with just over 6.5 to play in the second quarter. Another Big Ten game with not much mystery in this one. Number 17, Minnesota at home, leading Maryland 28-0. What would you guess, Charlie, without looking? I know you don't follow Maryland football, neither do I for that matter, but I had an idea of what their record might be at this point in the season. So 7 games in, they're playing game number 8. What do you think Maryland's record is? What would you guess?
7 games in, 3-4. 2-5.
You nailed it. 3-4.
Okay.
I would never have guessed they won 3 games, but I just clicked on their schedule. So they've got wins over Rutgers, 48-7. That's how bad Rutgers is. They lost to Maryland 48-7.
For the record, I did feel that 3-4 was high, though.
Okay.
So I'm kind of lucky on that guess.
I got blown out by Syracuse and got a blowout win against Syracuse, and then got a blowout win against, I don't even want to click on that. Maybe it's Howard. I don't care that much about Maryland, and neither do you. Neither does anybody listening to the show, unless your name is Eric Hicks, former Kansas City Chiefs star who played at Maryland. So that game's pretty much done. Here's an interesting one up in Ames. Oklahoma State leading number 23, Iowa State 21-10. What's that? Let me see what the spread was on that game. The spread was Iowa State by 10.5. That seems a little big. 10.5. So if you took Oklahoma State and the points, you're feeling pretty good right now. Pretty good.
Game in Lawrence. You think, at home, think that they could pull it off?
Texas Tech favored by 5. I might be, I don't bet with money, but I just pick for fun. I might pick Kansas and take the 5 points.
They're coming off of that crazy game in Austin last week.
Texas Tech is 3-4. They're 1-3 in the conference. You know what? I say things like
0-3 on the road, yeah.
Yeah. I say things like, I might take. No, I will. I'll take Kansas and the 5 points. It's nothing on the line. I don't have any money on it. It's not going to affect me, and nobody's going to remember this at 10 o'clock tonight when this game gets over. I'll take Kansas and the 5 points. Definitely. Back to the top 25. Ohio State absolutely blasting Wisconsin. That game was in Columbus, 38-7 for Ohio State. That was pouring rain, man. That was, and I can't believe they had the broadcasters, the guys doing the pre and post game show out there, standing out there in the rain with their suits on. They didn't let them put on a raincoat, a slicker, something. Nope. I've got my $3,000 suit out here standing in the pouring rain. So Ohio State, no problem. Then after the game, their quarterback said, you know what, we probably could have hung 50 with the rain and the bad weather and some bad plays. We didn't get it done. Number 20, Iowa, on the road at Northwestern. The Hawkeyes win 20-0. And I can just tell you from watching the first half of that one, entertainment value of 0. I've watched too much Iowa football to lie to you. That's Iowa football. We're going to kick a couple of field goals, throw in a touchdown here and there if we can. If we get the 20 points, great. We're going to have a party Saturday night if we get the 20. That's Iowa football. Appalachian State ranked number 21. Hammer South Alabama 30-3. Now, the big games coming up tonight. Well, not big games. Games with ranked teams. You tell me if you have any interest in watching this. any interest at all. Number one, Alabama hosting Arkansas. Interest level for me, zero. Yes, I know Alabama's the number one team in the game. Are they going to get a challenge from Arkansas? No. Although, saw what happened with K-State and Oklahoma. This is a different level. Zero interest in watching that game. I'm sure I'll catch a few minutes. It's a 6 o'clock game. I flip back and forth on that one, but not going to invest a lot of time in that. Number four, Clemson hosting Boston College. It's a Boston College team that Kansas hung 48 on just a few weeks ago. Any interest in Clemson and Boston College? Not really. That's a 6:30 kick. Also at 6:30, this is I'll be watching this one. I think everybody will. Number 8, Notre Dame at number 19, Michigan. A lot of folks picking Michigan. Notre Dame's only favored by one. I don't think I'd touch that game. A one-point game with Notre Dame being favored on the road. You're definitely interested. He's got all kinds of connections to it. Tim Grunhard, I'm sure. I don't know if he's up in, I don't know if he made the trip to Ann Arbor to watch Colin play. I heard him on 810 all week this week, but I didn't hear if he was going to travel up to Ann Arbor to watch that game. That's on my bucket list, going to Ann Arbor. 110,000 freaking people. 115,000, whatever it is. Notre Dame, Michigan. I'll be interested. Are you buying it? And let me just roll through the rest of it. Arizona State at UCLA? Nope. Maybe. I like Herm. Arizona State's been okay. Cal at number 12, Utah. Probably not. Well, that's one of those 9 o'clock games. Always looking for that late night game. I might flip it on in the second half. Washington State at number 11, Oregon. Maybe. I like watching Oregon play. I like
that's
that.
Not bad.
I like that quarterback. Not hard to like. He's going to be probably in the Heisman voting. Number 16, SMU got that win over Houston last night. Did you take in any of that? That was a really good finish. I like that one. So those are your games in your top 25. Before I hit break, let me go back to that Notre Dame-Michigan game. And of course, everybody knows Jim Harbaugh can't beat the ranked teams, the top 10 teams, got all this. You know what? I always go back to I totally buy into the Seren Petro argument. Okay, if you want to run Jim Harbaugh out, who's won a bunch of games for you, by the way, maybe doesn't have the most likable personality in the world, but he wins games. If you're a Michigan fan and you think Jim Harbaugh just ain't getting it done, can't beat Ohio State, can't get to the college football playoff, and you want to run him out, okay, who's next? You think Urban Meyer's going up there to Ann Arbor? No. He's in line for the USC job, right? Aren't they all trying to get him? Reggie Bush and all those former USC players trying to float that name out there. They've been doing that for about a year. So if it's not Jim Harbaugh, who you got? Who are you going for? Who are you bringing in? What big dog are you bringing in? Answer, you're not. Because Jim Harbaugh is about as good as it's going to get for your program. Anyway, I digress. I'm not saying I like the guy. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a really good coach. Just think people like to pull this, we need to fire that guy all too often. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to try to hook up with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Oh, you already give me the no? That ain't going to work? Okay. I thought that would happen. They get a big win.
Too busy after that crazy game.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, we'll figure it out. We got 1.5 hour left. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.